It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome into another edition of the Jazz Notes podcast. The Utah Jazz now 31-13. We're recording this, by the way, on a Thursday. My name is Cleon Wall. Kyle Ireland from KSLSports.com has joined me. He's written a lot of jazz stories this year, and so it was natural to pick on Kyle. Today in the Jazz Notes podcast, we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to give our midseason grades to players. The Jazz have already passed the midseason mark, so hey, why not? It's done a lot in radio, and so why not extend it to podcasts? We've done this before. We did it at the eighth mark. We did it at the quarter mark. Hey, why not at the halfway mark? So we're going to do that. We're also going to talk about the Jazz current starting lineup. Is it the most dangerous that you've seen? But we have to start off with the All-Star voting. Kyle, guess what? None of the Utah Jazz were voted in to the, as starters, I should say. Not as regular All-Stars, but just as starters.
You sound shocked, Cleon.
Oh, it blows me away. Why did the Jazz not... who am I kidding? I mean, did we really think that either of the two main Jazz guys, and we're talking about Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, did we really think either of them were going to get enough A, fan votes, B, player votes, or even C, media votes to actually be named one of the starters? I'm sorry, but no, this is not surprising at all.
Well, I think that this just, you know, in a bigger discussion, kind of, you have to look at the All-Star process and try and reevaluate that, because the Jazz are the second team in the Western Conference standings right now. And the Jazz aren't being represented in the starting conversation for the All-Star game out of those five Western Conference players. So why is that the case? It's a popularity contest, right? I mean, the All-Star game, especially the starters, it's a popularity contest. The Jazz didn't have anybody popular enough amongst the fan vote, which makes up 50% of the starting vote. And then you've got the players taking up another 25% of the vote, and then the media is an additional 25%. I think that they should have it be where 25% becomes 33 1/3%, and you give, you know, an equal portion of the vote to the fans, the media, and the players. If you want to have it be fair, then it should be even across the board there, and that way there's a little bit more balance in it. I still don't think the Jazz would have had either of those guys make the top five, because you look at the starters, you've got LeBron, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard in the front court. I don't think Rudy's surpassing any of those three. And then as far as the guards, you've got James Harden and Luka Doncic. And, you know, both of them are having awesome seasons as well. So it's really hard to, you know, try and put a Jazz player into those starting, you know, mixture. But I think that, you know, next week when the reserves come out, Jazz fans will hopefully be happy with the results that, you know, Gobert and Mitchell probably should be named All-Stars.
All the arguing or philosophizing over whether these guys should have made it in reality, I'm going to have to say, I'm going to admit, I actually think the fans, the players, and the media got it right, at least when it comes to the starters. It's everything after that that just makes you scratch your head, because I think Anthony Davis has done enough to be a starter in the front court. LeBron James is LeBron James, and Kawhi Leonard's Kawhi Leonard. I know that Rudy, you could make the argument that Rudy has not missed as many games as maybe some of those other guys, but overall, these are the most popular players, just like you talked about, and I think all three of them are also the most well-rounded players. I love Rudy, I love what he can do on offense, but he can't do the same thing on offense like the three guys we talked about. And the same goes actually for the guards, too. I think Donovan's up and coming. Maybe one day he's going to be a starter, but it's just not his time. And you could sit there and say, well, Luka Doncic is only in his second year. Luka Doncic is a pretty special player, and it's going to be fun to actually see him play against the Jazz coming up this Saturday when the Mavericks come to town and they play an afternoon game. Everything else after that, that's the head scratcher for me. And here's what I mainly, the biggest argument I would have to say is the fact that Carmelo Anthony got more love. Carmelo Anthony, who wasn't even on a roster to start this season, is getting more love than Rudy Gobert. I don't see how that is even possible. That players, fans, he was number six among fans, number seven among players, and number eight among... I'm even surprised that the media gave him an eight mark in there. How in the heck does Carmelo Anthony get this much love when he... Talk about the exact opposite of Rudy Gobert. All offense, no defense, and... He's even playing for a team right now that he is helping, but come on. He's not helping that much. They still have a losing record right now.
It's the Carmelo Anthony farewell tour.
Is that what it is?
I'm chalking it up to that, okay. Cleon, because it doesn't make sense. There's no way that Carmelo Anthony is half the player that Rudy Gobert is right now. Rudy Gobert, in my opinion, is a top 10 NBA player. I mean, you look at him on the offensive end, and he's undervalued, I think, in the NBA. Clearly, everybody knows what he does on the defensive end, but you saw what he did even last night against the Golden State Warriors. I mean, that game wasn't even close after 6-7 minutes of play because Rudy was so dominant. Granted, Golden State isn't what they have been in the past, but Rudy, he just is such a dominant force right now in the NBA, and he's even kind of, you know, pulling out some offensive moves. We've seen the hook shot being pulled out by him in the last couple of games.
I'm sitting here disparaging him, and he's actually done some good things on offense, too. Sorry to interrupt you, but go ahead.
No, I just think that, you know, it may be going back to what happened last year where they, you know, inserted some of these guys into the All-Star game, like Dwayne Wade made the All-Star game along with Dirk last year because it was their last season. I wonder if that's almost the media and the players just throwing Carmelo a bone just because of what he has done over the course of his entire career, not necessarily what he's done this year, because this year he should not be ranked above Rudy Gobert. It shouldn't even be close. So I don't know where they're going with that, right, in the media voting along with the player vote. It just doesn't make sense. But the thing that's interesting to me is Donovan Mitchell in the guard vote. The players rated Devin Booker ahead of Donovan Mitchell, which I think is really interesting because to me, Donovan Mitchell is a more well-rounded player than Devin Booker is. Devin Booker can score, don't get me wrong, but Donovan Mitchell, I feel like, has a more complete game. He's a better defensive player, in my opinion, than Devin Booker is. But you look at Doncic, Harden, Lillard, I don't think that Donovan's ahead of those guys by any means right now. Those guys are all-star players. But it's interesting to me of where the Jazz sit in the landscape of, you know, the all-star conversation based off of the player vote and the media vote. Rudy, you know, the media, you know, put Rudy Gobert at fifth in the front court, which, you know, clearly the media who watches a lot of the NBA, you know, not just one or two teams. They kind of see, you know, everybody as they cycle through on the teams that they cover. They recognize how great Rudy is, but to me, it's interesting that, you know, Donovan Mitchell, on the other hand, is fourth and then also sixth amongst the media and the player vote. I just think that Donovan still, you know, in his third year, has a little bit more respect that needs to be earned from some of these players and, you know, also the media who's looking at, you know, Devin Booker. I think that Donovan Mitchell's a better player.
No, I would agree with you. It's interesting, and that's why this process, and we talked about this on a previous Jazz Notes podcast, so we're not going to rehash everything, but that's why this process needs to be overhauled, whether it's your idea, which is make everything even, or whether it's another idea like Jeremiah brought up, which is kind of like make it the BCS or something like that, where you have a group or a committee that comes in.
Do we need a playoff for this?
I don't know. We need something that... And maybe we shouldn't do anything because this game is really so trivial, but it does mean something to these players. It means something, and it can actually mean something in their contract too, which is interesting if they build it into their contract. I agree with you. I think the other thing that, you know, makes me scratch my head is the fact that the fans and the players both ranked Russell Westbrook ahead of Donovan Mitchell. And I think that's a legacy thing there too. Russell Westbrook has been doing it for so many years now, and he's built up such street cred. But in reality, Donovan's kind of, I mean, Donovan could play with anyone right now. He could play on any team, and I think he could fit in, whether he's the main scorer or maybe he's the second banana on a team. I think he could fit with any team right now. Could you really say that for Russell Westbrook? I don't think that's the case. I think he has an attitude. His style of play also would not fit a lot of teams. I think what they look at is that they look at their friends and they look at the guys with names and they go, yeah, and I'm talking about players right now. Yeah, that's the guy I'm going to pick. So I think readily Donovan needs to be up a little bit higher. Now, then again, we're kind of jaded too because we see Donovan all the time. And I know that Russell Westbrook has been putting up some pretty impressive numbers lately. But has that turned into wins? Sadly for them, no.
And they're inefficient numbers. You know, you can put up a triple-double every single game if you want, but if you're taking 30 shots to get your 30 points, you know, how effective is that? And so you look at Donovan, and I still think that he has another level to go as far as taking his game to a more efficient level. Because you look at Rudy, for instance. Rudy's, you know, taking advantage of every scoring opportunity he has, you know, and he was 10 of 13, I believe it was, last night against the Warriors, whereas Donovan was 8 of 13. So, you know, Rudy's, you know, making more shots per attempt than some of the other guys that we're talking about here. But Donovan, for instance, you know, much more efficient player than Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is, I think that you look at that trade with Oklahoma City, and who won that deal, Oklahoma City or the Houston Rockets? Yeah. I think Chris Paul's probably doing a lot better for the Thunder this year than Russell Westbrook would if he was still on the Thunder. But yeah, I think that the All-Star conversation, going to what you said, it takes, you know, not just an accolade out of these guys' hand if they don't make the team, but it also affects whether or not they make some extra money. It can affect, almost like, you know, all NBA teams can affect whether a guy is eligible for the Supermax or things like that. So you look at, you know, there's other incentives that are affected by this. And so I think that, you know, taking the fan vote, lowering the amount that plays into the starters would be a nice step to take. But also, you know, I think that the players are jaded. The media is probably also jaded by the players that they cover and they see on a nightly basis, just like we are by seeing the Jazz on a nightly basis. But I think that it's a flawed process right now, and there needs to be a little bit of a revamp in order to make it more fair in the future.
I think the sad thing here is that I understand why we have the fan vote. We want the fans to be engaged. We want the fans to be involved. We want the fans to feel like they care about their players and their teams. But unfortunately, it's not a process that lends itself to being fair. And I think that's really kind of what we're looking for. I mean, I'll readily admit it. We just readily admitted at the start of the podcast. We like Rudy and we like Donovan, but we're not stupid enough to think that they deserve to be starters on this West All-Star team. It would just be silly to think that. I think that there are players that are better than they are right now. But that doesn't mean that you can totally disrespect them either. So I think there has to be something there. And we've talked about it. We're not going to go over it over and over again. We've talked about it before. Something needs to change. But if there is a glimmering light for Jazz fans, it's the fact that these guys both made it into the top 10, which probably means, I would think, that both are going to make the team. At the very least, I would think that Rudy's probably going to make the team. But I would even say that I think Donovan has a good chance of making the team, and it helps that Steph Curry's hurt. But anyway, I think there's a good chance that Donovan makes the team too, as long as whoever makes that pick, and I think it would be right now, it'd be Frank Vogel. If Frank Vogel looks around, hopefully he recognizes the fact that Donovan Mitchell has played well this season, even though the Lakers have beaten the Jazz twice, and he's not hopefully going to go to the coaches' picks are not going to be just sentimental favorites, just saying, oh, yeah, we really want Russell Westbrook to make this team. Oh, let's make sure we get Carmelo Anthony on this team. Look at the numbers, look at how the teams are doing, and then go from there and say, these are the right guys we need to put in the All-Star game. Yeah. Any other thoughts on the All-Star game?
No, I think you're spot on there. I mean, next week on the 30th, we're going to find out if either of these guys were snubbed, and I think both are well-deserving of an All-Star reserve spot. Both should make it. Even after the starters were announced on the NBA TNT show, all four of the guys on the NBA TNT crew had Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert listed as All-Star reserves. And so Next week, we'll find out for sure, but I think that both should and will end up being named All-Stars next week.
Tom Haberstroh of NBC Sports, right now, he's saying that the Utah Jazz, I think if I get this right, if it's not the best offense right now in the NBA, my goodness, it's really darn close. And he's talking about the starters and how they're playing offense right now. And you notice that if you're watching the games, you notice how good and efficient this offense is right now. But he's saying it's the deadliest, the best, whatever you want to call it right now. And the reason I wanted to bring this up before we give our grades, I wanted to bring this up is now I'm starting to rethink my thought process here, Kyle. Maybe talk me down here. I'm starting to think maybe Mike Conley needs to stay on the bench. I don't know. I'm just not buying it completely. I just think if the Jazz are going to be the most complete team right now, they need to have Mike Conley be able to start. But with this Jazz team and the offense being so dangerous right now, when do you make that switch? This has got to be a difficult time for Quinn Snyder. You can sit there and say, well, it's a good problem to have. Sort of. If you want a team to remain a team, this is a difficult time for this team right now. So right now, should they even mess with this thing?
So I don't think they mess with it in the next game or two, but I think eventually, I mean, maybe before the All-Star break, you start to slowly see it integrated, Mike Conley back into the starting lineup. But you play Dallas on Saturday. I think you have Royce O'Neal start, and you have him guard Doncic in that game to, you know, kind of ease Conley back continually from that hamstring injury that kept him out for a month. But I mean, the Jazz are playing well right now. There's no doubt about it. They've won 18 out of their last 19 games. They're the number one 3-point shooting team in the league. They're, I want to say, seventh in point differential, and they're the second best shooting team behind the Milwaukee Bucks and the Los Angeles Lakers on, you know, just overall field goals. So you look at what they've been able to do without Conley in the lineup, and back to Haberstroh's point, you know, they're on fire right now. They're blowing out some teams, and they've, you know, kind of figured out an identity where they didn't really know who they were as the season started and Conley was trying to figure out his spot in the team. I think that you look at what Conley is, he's a, you know, $30 million player. You can't have that guy coming off the bench if you want to be the best possible team. You got to figure out a way to try and have him be who the best version of him is in the 2019-20 season. Conley is not going to be the guy who he was last year or in seasons past where he was a borderline all-star with the Grizzlies and he was a ball-dominant point guard. Conley's going to have to be a guy where you look at this team, it's Rudy Gobert's team, it's Donovan Mitchell's team, and Conley's going to have to acquiesce to those two. And that's going to, if he can do that and still be effective, going to make the Jazz the best possible version of themselves as they kind of head into this stretch before the playoffs. But I think you slowly work Conley back into the lineup, maybe give him a couple of more games, two or three games, where he's coming off of the bench, where you kind of build his minutes back up. But then I think that you probably move Royce O'Neal to the bench, and I think that now's a great time to do that because you've got him locked up as an extended player now where you're not having to worry about his contract situation, because I think if you move Royce out of the starting lineup, you don't have a contract situation. You may, you know, tinker with players' feelings in the off season. And so now that Royce is locked up, you don't have to worry about that necessarily. So I think that you give it a few more games. You reintegrate Conley back up on a point where he doesn't have a minute restriction, so you're not worried about any injury or anything like that. And then you try and figure out who this team is with Conley part of that starting lineup. But I think you do keep Joe Ingles in the starting lineup because Joe clearly has been a different player when he's, you know, on the court to start the game as opposed to coming off the bench.
You're going to lose something defensively if you put Royce on the bench. The one thing I like about him being in the starting lineup, Royce said, is he doesn't need the ball. He knows what his role is, and he's comfortable with his role. When Mike Conley gets in the game, he's going to need the ball, or he needs to find out ways to be successful without the ball in his hands, because right now it's clear that the Jazz are very successful with either Donovan Mitchell attacking, Joe Ingles attacking, or you could even say Bojan Bogdanovic attacking. He may not provide offense a lot of times for other players, but I've seen him do that too, but he's effective at creating offense for himself. And so if you have those three guys and now you're adding Mike Conley, who's going to try and do some stuff, I think if you're going to reintegrate Mike Conley, I agree with you. Make it, make sure it's over the next, you know, in the next few games. See if you can get him into the starting lineup and see where it goes from there. And then on top of that, if it doesn't work, you can always revert back to having Royce in the starting lineup. And it's not going to kill you to have Mike Conley being one of your offensive go-to guys off of the bench and with that second team along with Jordan Clarkson. But I just, it's going to be, I still think it's going to be a really difficult balancing act of what you're going to do. I don't think you're going to hurt Royce O'Neal's feelings. I just wonder how that defense is going to be and how Mike Conley's going to be when he doesn't have the ball in his hands a lot. And if he's okay with that, then maybe they're going to be successful and do it in going forward.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that you have to look at. It all depends on how Quinn Snyder sets up his rotations and, you know, when, you know, Conley comes out of the game. You know, if he starts the game, does he come off the, you know, off the lineup first and go to the bench, or does Donovan Mitchell? Because I think that you have to have Conley and Donovan Mitchell, one of them has to be on the court at all times. So you got to figure out which one's playing more minutes with the second unit, or you have to have Joe Ingles kind of become a de facto point guard in the second unit, and then he's playing less with the starting lineup, which you've seen the impact that he's had with Rudy Gobert in the pick and roll, and the impact that that's had, and this kind of surge that the Utah Jazz have had on offense in the last month or so. So I think that you bring up a good point there with, you know, there's a delicate balance as opposed to, you know, having Royce in the lineup. You don't necessarily have to give him X amount of shots per game. He's okay just being the, you know, junkyard kind of dog player where he's just going to go out and hound guys and play good defense, get you rebounds, and, you know, kind of be an off-ball guy. Whereas I think that earlier in the season you saw where, you know, Mike Conley would bring the ball up the court one time, Donovan Mitchell would bring it up the next time. I think that you have to figure out who's going to be the guy to initiate the offense. Is it going to be Conley and Donovan's going to be playing off-ball, or is Donovan Mitchell going to bring it up and Conley's going to play off-ball? I would like to see Donovan Mitchell kind of be the one to initiate the offense and Conley kind of become more of an off-ball player as opposed to a guy who's bringing it up and Donovan's playing off the ball, because you've seen the impact that Donovan's had in the last month or so when he's been the de facto point guard in that starting lineup. And even last season when he played point guard, he was really effective as far as putting up, you know, big numbers on offense. He's had a lot of 30-point games when he's been the point guard on this team. And so I'd like to see that be kind of the scenario moving forward, where Conley kind of becomes the secondary guard to Donovan Mitchell, because this is his team. And I think the Donovan Mitchell is going to take the Jazz as far as his ceiling, you know, is, yeah. You know, moving forward. And if the Jazz want to have success in the playoffs, Donovan Mitchell has to be the one to take them there, not Mike Conley.
I think the hope is that they don't care who brings the ball up the floor. That would be the hope. I'm not sure that if that goal can be realized right now, that it doesn't matter who's bringing the ball up the floor. That would be the optimum thing, that, okay, Donovan's bringing it up. Okay, this is where Mike Conley's going to go. Oh, Mike's bringing it up. Okay, this is where Donovan's going to go, so that everyone still stays connected, because as you just talked about, Joe Ingles is also very effective. Maybe not when he's bringing the ball up, but initiating the offense, especially in that pick and roll like you talked about, he's very effective too. So it's really difficult, because you don't have that offense anymore like you had with a John Stockton, where it's get the ball to John, he'll put you in the offense. In reality, this offense is supposed to breed a collegiality. That's probably the wrong word I'm trying to come up with here, but it doesn't matter who brings the ball up, because everyone should know where they go and everyone should be able to feed off of that. I think if they could do that, that would be the optimum thing that you would want to do, but I'm not sure that's going to happen.
And I know we have to get to our grades here, but I think that we have yet to see what this can potentially look like, because this Jazz team is a different team than it was at the beginning of the season, yeah, because of the moves that they've made. I mean, you don't have Jeff Green anymore on the bench. You have Jordan Clarkson, and what Jordan Clarkson's been able to do as far as a scoring option has been really helpful for the second unit. And I think that no matter who kind of plays more minutes with the bench, you're going to have more effective lineups moving forward than what you had at the beginning of the year. And so whether it's Conley that's playing those minutes, Joe Ingles, Donovan Mitchell, I think that you're going to see more production. And so that's kind of yet to be seen, I would say. But I think that the benefit is that you have more shooting on the floor than you did earlier in the season.
All right, midseason grades coming up next.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
Oh my God,
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
All right, welcome back into the Jazz Notes Podcast. Kyle Ireland, my name is Cleon Wall. We're giving our midseason grades. You know what? We're just going to throw it open. I'm just going to throw it to Kyle. I'm going to say, name a player, a coach, anything like that, a fan. I'm just kidding on the fans. Well, if you want to give a fan a grade, I guess you can do that. Anyone you want, just throw it out there and give them a grade. Kyle, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I can go first.
Okay, go
I'm
going
to say Rudy Gobert,
okay.
And I'm going to start off giving him an A. Not an A+, just an A, because I think that Rudy can still take his game to another level,
wow.
Especially on the offensive end.
Okay.
We've seen what he's been able to do in the last week or two, and I'd like to see him, you know, we saw the little baby hook that he's kind of made in the last couple of games. I'd like to see him incorporate that and, you know, do so on a more consistent basis. If he can do that, and like he's done the last couple of games where he's putting up 20 and 10s, that clearly makes him an all-star caliber player, and he's going to get more recognition on the offensive end. Everybody knows what he's going to do on the defensive end. He's going to be a stalwart. He's going to have a block or two or three a game, and he's going to, you know, kind of anchor the Jazz on defense. But if he can become a legitimate 20-point scoring option for this team, that just helps open the floor up on, you know, the three-point line for all the other guys. And if the Jazz continue to keep shooting the ball at a 39% clip and lead the league in three-point shooting, just imagine what that can do, especially when things kind of lock down and tighten up in the playoffs. So I'm going to give Rudy an A.
Okay. We're just going to move on to the next one. I'm going to say Donovan Mitchell. I'm going to give him I want to give him an A+. I really do. I will. I'm going to give him an A+. And here's the reason why. I'm giving him an A+ because he has really taken this team under, he's really taken on the mantle of not only being the leader, and we've seen him do this before. This is really nothing new. Maybe that's why I should only give him an A. No, I'm going to give him an A+ because I really think that he has been the guy. And I'm not taking anything away from Rudy. I still think Rudy's the MVP of this team. But Mike Conley goes down with an injury. He steps right back into the old role that he had last year, and this team has been fantastic on offense. I'm not really sure there's anything more I could ask out of Donovan Mitchell right now. If there's one little thing that I could ask, it's just that he makes better decisions when he's coming off screens or when he's going to the basket. And I still think he's going to learn that. So in reality, year three, Donovan Mitchell, I'm pleased with how he's playing right now. So I'm going to give him an A+. Maybe I drop it down to A because I think there's still a little bit more that he could give me, but I still think that's being a little unfair. I'm going to say Donovan Mitchell, A+ right now.
Bojan Bogdanovic, A+ for me, because
Ooh.
Bojan Bogdanovic has been, I would say, dollar for dollar, the best signing of this last offseason class.
Okay.
Because Bojan was exactly what the Utah Jazz needed in their front court. They needed a guy who could space the floor and who could hit three-pointers. And that's something that they didn't have in seasons past, and you've seen what it's been able to do for Donovan Mitchell's game. Donovan's had the lane open up more so because Donovan's seeing a guy in the corner that he can dish it out to, and he's hitting it at a, you know, 39-38% clip. If Bojan can continue to put up the numbers that he's been able to do so in the first half of the season, I think the Jazz are going to be a really special team in the playoffs, because Bojan is a guy that's been able to give the Jazz something that they haven't had in the past. Bojan's been able to hit 30 points, what, 8-9 times this season? The Jazz haven't had a guy who's been able to do that other than two other times in seasons past, other than Donovan Mitchell.
I will say A-. I wasn't going to add anything, but I'll say A-, but let me add on to what you have to say. I think the thing that I've been pleased about with Bojan, real quickly, is that he does a really good job of creating offense. And when he doesn't have, yes, he's turned the ball over when he's gotten stuck a few times, but in reality, I think he's done so much more for this team than you really imagined. He's not just your three guy. He's a guy, and what I mean by that is a guy that's just going to shoot threes. He does a really good job of dribbling into the lane and creating space for himself to get up a shot, and he's pretty effective. The reason why I said A- is just that I wish he could be a little bit more consistent when it comes to his offensive game. But on the other hand, and I think Ben Anderson brought this up in a previous podcast, maybe he's just going to be, that's his consistency, is that he has those games where he has a 30 and then he has something else like a 26 and then he struggles and he has a 17. So you know you're going to get a clunker in there every once in a while, and that's okay. You're because you have enough guys around you that you can absorb that clunker and you're still going to be okay. So I'm just going to give him an A-. He's actually been fantastic this season. I really have nothing more to say about him. Okay, I'm going to go with Joe Ingles. I'm going to give you a 2-for-1 here. I'm going to say Joe Ingles, I'm going to give him a B. And the reason why I'm giving him a B, not a B-plus or an A-minus or anything like that, is because he's kind of had to work himself into one of the better players right now on this team and one of the best pick-and-roll guys right now, I'll say, in the NBA, because he is so effective with Rudy Gobert right now and what he does. And the amazing thing is everyone knows he's going to go left around that pick-and-roll, or at least it feels like it, he does it all the time, and he's still effective at doing it, and he's still effective at making the right decision, whether it's laying it up, giving it off to Rudy, or giving it out to someone else. So I'm going to give him a B because he's had to round himself into that player. He was not able to be successful as a bench guy. He needed Rudy, and so that's why I'm giving him a B. The 2-for-1 here is that goes along with Quinn Snyder, because Quinn had to finally realize, and maybe it took a Mike Conley injury to realize this, that Joe Ingles needed to be in the starting lineup. He was so much more effective with Rudy Gobert. So what's my grade for Quinn Snyder right now? I'm going to say incomplete, and here's the reason why. Because I think that as the season goes along, things are just going to keep getting better and better. Sorry, that's my wife trying to call me right now, if you heard that in the background. I think he's just going to keep trying to evolve this lineup into the most efficient lineup that they can be until we actually get to the playoffs. So I'm going to say incomplete right now. If I had to give a grade right now, I probably would say A-. I think he's actually done a good job on the fly of transitioning this team into one of the best offensive teams right now in the NBA.
Another incomplete grade for you, and it's an obvious one, Mike Conley.
Yeah.
He's missed nearly a quarter of the season, and I think that we have yet to see the best of Mike Conley in the Utah Jazz. I think that he was still trying to figure out who he was in the beginning and part of the season, and now that he's had a month to sit back and kind of analyze who this team is, what he can do to, you know, help Donovan Mitchell become the best version of himself, and then also Rudy Gobert become the best version of himself, you'll see the best version of Mike Conley in a Jazz uniform in the next 35 games or so. I think that what Mike Conley has to do is he has to understand that he isn't the guy anymore, and I think that he's willing to do so. I mean, he's a 13-year veteran. He knows what's been the best version of him in his prime. That's already in the past, but what he can do to kind of help this team reach its potential moving forward is to help Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert become their best selves. And so Mike Conley kind of has to figure out, okay, now that I've seen what this team's done and has been so effective at without me in the lineup, where are the weaknesses on offense? Where are the weaknesses on defense? And how can I improve those when I'm on the floor with this team? I think that what will happen moving forward is you're going to see Mike Conley, you know, dish out 8-9 assists a game, because I think that that'll help the Jazz. You've seen when the ball's moved, the Jazz have been a lot more effective in getting that open guy who's, you know, clearly a great 3-point shooter, or else the Jazz wouldn't be shooting at the clip that they are. Being able to knock down that shot and then also help Rudy rim roll and, you know, get a lot of the dunks that he has. I'd like to see Mike Conley just become more aggressive in the second half of the season and kind of, you know, not necessarily look to put up 20 points a game, but look to dish out 8 or 9 assists a game.
All right, we've got time for one more grade apiece. Yes, we're not going to do everything, but we're going to do one more grade apiece. I'm going to pick the front office. And I'm actually, oh, is that what you were going to pick?
I was going to pick it as well, but it's okay. Okay. I like where you're going with
okay,
this.
Okay, I'm
going
to pick the front office. I'm actually going to give them a solid A. Not for anything they did in the offseason. This is only in season. The Jets, they saw a weakness. They saw that they did not have any scoring off the bench. And so what did they do? They went out there to try and find a score. And people probably thought they're, you know, when they went and got, I'm just fumbling all over myself. They probably looked at Jordan Clarkson and thought, is he really going to be able to help this team? We know he can score, but he's kind of a gunner. Is he going to be able to fit into this team? They actually found a guy who was willing to come in and do his job. And in my opinion, I don't think he's really overstepped his bounds here. He scores when he needs to. And when he's with the starters, he kind of takes a backseat. He knows what his role is on this team. I'm going to give them an A for picking up the right guy and picking up what they needed for this bench. And so that's why I'm giving him an A. You can give him other grades if you wanted to in the offseason or anything like that, whether it's Ed Davis or Green or anyone like that. That's fine. But I would say in season, and we could add actually Green to that, they also had the foresight to say, you know what, it's just not working out for us. You probably need to go. And that way they could give George Niang some more minutes too.
Just on the front office, I'll add my grade to that. I think that they get an A as well, but I think it's because they have another potential move in their back pocket. I think there's another move that can be made with this team to put them over the hump. And I think that if you look at a guy like Ed Davis, you know, is he going to be happy, you know, being the third center? Tony Bradley has played some nice minutes in the recent weeks, but he still, I think, isn't to the level that the Jazz need him to be at to be a great playoff team. So do the Jazz look to, you know, roll with Tony Bradley moving forward, or do they try and pick up another player to kind of fill that gap behind Rudy in the second unit? I would like to see them potentially make another move, but I do give them an A-plus for the move they made with Jordan Clarkson. And I'll give my last grade to Jordan Clarkson. I think that he gets an A-plus because he's been exactly what the Jazz needed. He was a scoring punch that they didn't have on the second unit. He's been able to kind of bolster this bench, which has also been supported by George Niang getting more minutes and kind of, you know, really helping out with that three-point shooting off of the bench. But Jordan Clarkson has kept himself within his own lane. He hasn't been too crazy inefficient when he's had inefficient nights. And I think that was a knock on him and a lot of Jazz fans, and, you know, myself included, looking at that move and saying, I don't know if Jordan Clarkson's going to be the efficient player that the Jazz need him to be, but he's kept within himself and been able to give the Jazz, you know, whether it be 20 points on a night where they need 20 points from him, or if they just need 8 or 9 points from him, he's been able to give them exactly what they need on the majority of the nights that he's played, and so I'll give him an A+.
I really wonder, though, if they have the assets, what they're willing to give up to go out and get a backup center. That's the only question that I have.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's that you have to go out and you have to trade somebody for it. It may be in the buyout market that you can try and get somebody, because the Jazz, if they continue to be the first or second or third best team in the Western Conference moving forward, that's an appealing spot for a veteran guy to sign with the Jazz, where, you know, I'm not saying they're going to go out and they're going to get an Andre Iguodala type player, but, you know, they're going to get somebody that can play 8-9 minutes a night for him and be effective. And, you know, let's say Tony Bradley's struggling in the playoffs and they turn to a guy like Ed Davis. I don't know if they can.
Yeah.
And so do they have somebody that they have on their radar that they can, you know, pick up really cheap and who's played 10 years in the league that they're like, okay, we know that we can turn to this guy for at least 7-8 minutes a night, and we know exactly who he's going to be and what he's going to give us. I'm interested to see if there's that mystery piece out there that they can pick up.
He's Kyle Ireland. My name's Cleon Wall. This has been the Jazz Notes Podcast. Thanks for downloading and listening and subscribing. Let us know what you think of the podcast. Leave us a rating and review, or just tell your friends about it. That'd be great. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.